then be sure that there will be a lots and lots of problems. A story from the Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. One day he met Iblis, may Allah curse him. And the prophets, obviously, they have no problem seeing Shaitan and talking with him because they are the prophets. So he said to him, أخبرني بأحب الناس إليك وأبغضهم إليك. Tell me who is the most beloved to you and who is most hated to you. And the prophet, obviously, he's being very precise when he asks this question. He says, tell me who is the one that you hate the most and the one that you love the most. So the prophet can stay away from the one who loves and be among the ones who he hates. He says, Shaitan replied to the Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. He says, أحبهم إلي كل مؤمن بخيل. The most beloved to me amongst the human beings are the stingy mu'mins. He didn't say the stingy normal people. Nah. He said the mu'min, the stingy one. Why? Because Shaitan has a feud. He has a problem with the mu'mineen. And when he sees them fail, oh boy, that is when he succeeds and becomes the happiest. Because transgressors and fasiqeen and are not kafirin, he has no business with these guys because they're already done. But a mu'min, when he says when he becomes a bakhil, he says, I love him the most. So you can see where Shaitan is going with this. وَأَبْغَضَهُمْ إِلَيْهِ كُلُّ مُنَافِقٍ سَخِي. And the most hated to me are the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who are generous. Why? Because they're giving. And Shaitan cannot understand. And he can't stand the concept of giving. So, in the Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, he said to him, Walimadak, why do you love the mu'min who is stingy and you hate the hypocrite who is generous? He says, لِأَنَّ السَّخَاءَ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ الْأَعْظَمُ. For generosity is the biggest creation of Allah. فَأَخْشَى أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ فِي بَعْضِ سَخَاءَ فَيَغْفَرْ لَهُ. And I'm afraid that this person might get to see the generosity of Allah as well, and Allah might forgive him. Oh, this khalq of Allah, generosity is a creation of Allah, that might see this hypocrite, and he might get forgiven. So sakha, even if a person is an unbeliever, or even if a person is munafiq, it could lead him to iman. It can lead him to al-amal al-salih, to doing good actions. While being a mu'min and bakhid, it would lead a person to becoming a bad man and would lead him to hellfire. So to do the opposite. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Also, we have a story from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They brought a group of prisoners to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and obviously during the war, and he asked Amir al-Mu'mineen to kill them, right? And then he asked them to take one of them out of the list and not to kill him. He said, oh, these guys kill them, but this one leave alone. So this man said to the Prophet, لِمَا أَفْرَدْتَنِي مِنْ أَصْحَابِي وَجُنَيْتُ وَاحَدًا. Why did you outcast me from my friend while we committed the same crime? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيْ أَنَّكَ سَخِيَّ قَوْمَكَ. Allah has revealed to me that you are the most generous out of your people. وَأَنْ لَا أَقْتُلَكَ And he told me not to kill you. Then the man said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَإِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Then the man says, I believe that there is no God but Allah, and you are the messenger of Allah. So you see that his generosity led him to hell, saved him from being killed, and led him to heaven, and took him away from hell. So a person, a mu'min, with greed, with a stinginess, can enter hell. Why? Because of the many reasons that we mentioned. Lack of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fight between iman and greed and stinginess. The fact that greed and stinginess wipes out the iman and the faith from a person's heart. So literally will take him to hell. And obviously with greed and stinginess, a person will act in a bad manner. And the more he acts in a bad manner towards his other fellow human beings, the more sins he will bring onto himself. So it would lead him to that. While generosity, with generosity, you can't go wrong. You could never go wrong with generosity, whether you're a mu'min or non-mu'min. Even as we listen to the story, even a kafir and a hypocrite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for their generosity, He will open doors for them and He will make it easier for them to see Iman. He will make it easier for them to follow the right path, to be truthful. And the stories like that are so many to count. Sometimes, like we said many times, that a simple act of kindness, a simple act of generosity, brings people to Islam, brings people to the right way. And even us as Muslims who live in the Western countries, when we deal with non-Muslims and they see our generosity, sometimes it just keeps them thinking, why are you so generous? Why are you doing this? And when we tell them this is the message of our faith, this is how our imams have taught us, this is how our religion have taught us to be generous and to be giving, they say, well, obviously, this religion, I want to be a part of it. I want to see how it feels to be a part of such religion, where it cares about people, it protects people, it helps people, and it makes people envy of us when they see us in this state of giving, this state of helping, while other countries and other secular systems, people don't care about one another. People have no mercy towards one another. Compassion does not exist. And even if it does exist on a smaller scale, and sometimes it's just for show, not for the love of mankind. Only, you know, a very handful of organizations that are non-profitable working for the sake of mankind, while the rest don't care. If we want to keep this place, this world, a better place, we have to make sure that we give and share. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
The rise of Mohammed bin Salman as the Saudi crown prince in June 2017 marked an abrasive shift of behavior in the kingdom's foreign policy. The brute force behind the Yemen war was now the de facto leader of Saudi Arabia. The same month, bin Salman became the crown prince. He has spearheaded the blockade campaign against its small neighbor, Qatar. But that was not the end of the young prince's adventurism in the region. He wanted to flex his muscles against Iran, the kingdom's biggest rival in the region. While a direct confrontation with Tehran was a political suicide, bin Salman opted for a media war. The same year, a media network by the name of Iran International was established in London. An Al Arabiya channel by nature, Iran International's mission was clear, waging a smear campaign against Iran.
There are Saudi intellectuals and journalists jailed.
In October 2018, The Guardian published an article titled Concern Over UK-Based Iranian TV Channel's Links to Saudi Arabia, casting doubt on the editorial independence of Iran International. According to the article, bin Salman, who many believe is responsible for the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi, was the force behind the channel. The channel's gonzo journalism even drew the ire of Iranian political dissidents and opposition groups. Shahram Homayoun, a dissident and the owner of Channel One, a Persian satellite TV station based in Los Angeles. By many accounts, Saud al-Qahtani, the crown prince's information czar, who was among two senior officials removed in connection with the Khashoggi affair, was involved in the funding behind Iran International TV. Ironically, Saudi Arabia shows zero tolerance for criticism of its absolute monarchy, as underlined by Khashoggi's murder. It is setting up media organizations in other languages promoting free speech, particularly about Iran. Back in August, Salma al-Shihab, a Saudi woman, was given 34 years prison sentence for using Twitter. In the summer of 2018, almost a year after its launch, Iran International came under fire for airing extensive live coverage of a rally by the terrorist group of Mujahideen Khal organization that seeks regime change in Iran and has strong links to Saudi Arabia. It was not a blunder or a bad decision, but at the core of the channel's editorial policy to give airtime to Iran's sworn enemies. Shortly after, in September 2018, the channel gave airtime to yet another terrorist group to praise one of the deadliest terrorist attacks in Iran, in which the shooters killed dozens of people, including soldiers and civilian bystanders of a military parade. As a channel which runs no commercial advertising, Iran International reportedly received $250 million in funding from Saudi Arabia. The question is, why should the kingdom give this huge amount of money to a channel in London? In a recent leaked document, BBC Persian TV's senior presenter says the ultimate goal of Saudi-backed Iran International is advocating secession of Iran's provinces. Over the recent unrest in Iran, Saudi Arabia has tried to stir up chaos in the country through the distorted lens of its puppet channel. In the words of Professor Mohammad Mirandi of the University of Tehran, Iran International spreads rumors, ethnic and sectarian strife, and tries to use misinformation to create fear, chaos, and promote violence. The channel has been at the forefront of spreading misinformation and disinformation in the name of covering news in Iran. Azadeh Moaveni, associate professor of journalism at New York University, described the channel this way. Iran International is one of the most pernicious and damaging forces to enter the Iranian media sphere. It's an arm of Saudi foreign policy. I would not describe Iran International as pro-reform or organically Iranian in any manner. Giving a voice to terrorist groups has become the distinguishing feature of this Saudi channel that bears inappropriately the name of Iran. In just 50 days since the start of unrest, the channel invited 25 terrorists and secessionists for more than 120 times, among them Abdullah Mohtadi, the leader and secretary general of the so-called Komala Party of Iranian Kurdistan, and Mostafa Hijri, the leader of the so-called Democratic Party of Iranian Kurdistan, two separatists for whom the end justifies the means. The two are responsible for sporadic attacks against Iranian civilians in the western parts of Iran. Dictated by Riyadh, the media outlet naively seeks to topple the Islamic Republic by motivating the Generation Z of Iran to rise up against the establishment. One survey published by Tehran Times shows that almost half of what has been said by Iran International has had no foundation. In recent weeks, Iran has seen an all-out war on air and online. Rumors and fake news spread so quickly that often there is not much room left for the truth. This media project, sponsored by Saudi petrodollars, is trying to do to Iran what it did to Libya and Syria in the heat of the so-called Arab Spring, instigating disturbances against the government by pumping fake news, encouraging vandalism and violent behavior, and turning chaos to civil war and regime change if possible. It's not hyperbole to call the media war against Iran as bin Salman's most dangerous gamble. The crown prince already has a lot on his plate. The bloody war in Yemen, which has wasted the kingdom's money and energy for years without any clear outcome, the shaky ties with Washington, and an increasing public pressure from inside the kingdom, to name but a few. Poking Tehran would be the last thing bin Salman needed if he really wanted peace in the Persian Gulf. Iran's strategic patience is definitely not infinite, and the prince will rue the day if he doesn't rethink his regional policy.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Khan of Islam page. Very welcome again to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atah, the host on this program, and with me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Nur Muhammadpour. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh Nur Muhammadpour, and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Shaykh, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the change of our sins to merits. We know that according to Islamic beliefs, a person who has done so many sins, has changed the sins into a virtues or merits. We want to talk about the mechanism, we can say, of this change of the sins to the, we can say, virtues. How is it possible?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. About first side of this story, talking about the whether we can change the, you know, sins, which we call is sayya or sayyaat, we can change it to the some kind of hasanat. We can change it to some kind of merits.
Yes.
Is it possible to do that? You know that according to the verse of Noble Quran, you may do that. You know, some people, they have, unfortunately, they have committed some sins and they want to change it. They
yes.
want to change the procedure of their life.
Yes.
They want to have, you know, some kind of merits.
Yes.
Is it possible to change the, your record, your previous record, and change it to the positive one or not? Because some people, many people, they want to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to have pure life. Is that possible? But they have negative record. You know, according to the verse of Noble Quran, one way, one practical way is to have, you know, accurate prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salat. For example, we have أقم الصلاة طرف النهار ودلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that maintain the prayer at the two ends of the day and during the early hours of night. Indeed, good deeds efface misdeeds.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
This efface of good deeds of, you know, of the misdeeds of people, actually one way of that is having accurate prayer. By accurate, I mean to have prayer toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to, you know, maintain your prayer, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to have distracted mind, and to observe all other conditions of the prayer, of the accurate prayer. In that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala efface your misdeeds and put in a state of that your, you know, good deeds.
Yes.
It is one way. Another way is to have repentance toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila saliha fa ulaika yubaddilu Allah sayyi'atihim hasanat.
Yes.
This is chapter Furqan, verse 70. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, except those people who repent
yes.
toward Allah subhanahu and have faith and righteous deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change their misdeeds to the, you know, good deeds.
And is it really a change or no? It is a change of the personality. You know, sometimes we misunderstood. We think that, okay, I repent, I do tawbah, I do repent, I regret my past. Now all the numbers of my sins in the past are changed into the number of merits in the future. Mm-hmm. Is it so?
Sometimes it is actually changing of your misdeeds. Allah subhanahu mm-hmm. wa ta'ala effaced that.
Yes.
And puts some kind of, you know, good deeds in a state of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is one understanding.
Yes.
Another way is...
So it is replacement.
Replacement, okay. Exactly. And sometimes it's changing your personality.
Uh-huh. This is the, okay.
For the future uh-huh. and upcoming
yes.
actions.
Yes.
And he changed you and in future you would have the, you know, good deeds in a state of, you know, negative deeds. As I said, it has other interpretation for changing the, you know, misdeeds to the good deeds.
So what is the main resource and source of changing the sayyi'at to hasanat? I mean, where does it come from?
You know that, first of all, maybe it is your willpower.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you want to change your way of life and to go toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is welcoming.
Yes.
So all people who want to, you know, go to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it comes to the your willpower, your choice.
Yes.
You know, if you want to change your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always supporting. in a way that to the extent that even if you want to have righteous action, for example, to be giving, to be generous for people, to have altruistic life, you know, help other human beings, these all considered to be from the righteous action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would change your previous negative record. So it is very great, glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the faithful people to always try to choose the right path.
That's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
There is a concept in Islam, it's called, we can say, azab istidraj, or the gradual chastisement. And according to some of the verses of the Holy Quran, we can say, summa badalna makana sayya al-hasana, okay? And the rest of the, hatta afo, waqalu qad, you know, the rest of the story.
Yes.
That, for example, we have, instead of giving them the hardship and the difficulties, we give them the wealth and the power,
exactly,
and this,
yeah,
and that. So there must be a philosophy behind this verse of the Holy Quran too, is it so?
You know that the concept of istidraj actually means that some people, when they commit some errors and evil action,
mm-hmm,
and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, does not have any kind of blessing for them, and actually there is no care of Allah, there is no mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them, and in this case these people, they are far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we have in our narration that when you repeatedly commit some evil action and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you you know, some kinds of material wealth, okay, you repeat your evil action and Allah showers you with his material wealth, so it is kind of, sometimes it is kind of danger for the people,
mm-hmm,
you know.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish you, but gives you more material benefit, and suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you with your punishment, which we call it istidraj, which is a gradual punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that?
That's right. And the vice versa. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say in a kind of test and trial, gives the people the hardships, isn't it? In order to test how they are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it so?
Exactly. You know,
these hardships and these difficulties are changed into goodness at the end.
You know that all these hardships, all of them, they are a kind of test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test human being by giving some wealth or by giving some hardships. And all of that, it is not more than test. We have to be always prepared for that, and we have to look at it as a test for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to make me more complete, in order for me to get to my, you know, perfection. It is very important for human beings to understand these issues coming to the daily life of human being. These are all examination, test and trial of Allah in order to get me closer to my perfection. Not to forget about myself, not to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very important. But unfortunately, many people,
yes,
fall into this trap.
That's right.
When they are affluent,
okay,
they think they have earned it from by themselves,
yes,
not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
When they are in hardship, they are in distress.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
They forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you look at this perspective, if you look at all phenomena in this way, mm-hmm. you understand all of that is kind of test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to check the human being whether you have this willpower to choose Allah mm-hmm. and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not.
We know that, Shaykh, when somebody does a sin, it has an outer manifestation, and the most important one is the inner manifestation, which is the effect on the soul. Okay, the outer manifestation might have its own chastisement or, for example, punishment or something like that, okay? Whether it is according to religion or law. But now when we are talking about يُبَدُّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed, for example, your evil deeds into good deeds, some mufassirin says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here means that the effects on your souls are eliminated and deleted, you know, by changing them into good. And I think this is the most important aspect of the soul, isn't it?
You know, there is no contradiction. Uh-huh. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to change your misdeeds, mm-hmm. okay?
Yes.
Sometimes it's by changing your negative trait from your soul.
Okay.
Okay.
And this is very good, I think, isn't it? Really, the negative trait and effects are eliminated.
And it can be true, beside that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala efface your misdeeds and put, you know, good deeds in a state of that. I want to say that we can combine these, all kind of this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no, you know, differences here.
That's all right. Okay. And we know that a person's regret and repentance is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it is with the, we can say, pure intention or niyyah. And the pure intention comes from the soul. And so the darkest spots on the soul must be deleted and must be cleaned. Mm-hmm. So one way of cleaning and changing the sayyat into hasanat is eliminating of these dark spots on your soul.
Exactly. That's your soul must be patched from different kinds.
Yes, and clean
of,
again.
Yes.
Like to a new child, not
yes,
a new
exactly.
baby.
Yes, exactly. Okay. In order to be ready to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. I really enjoyed talking to you about how we can say the sayyad or the sins are changed into hasanat or the good deeds. It was very kind of you, and thank
My
you
pleasure.
Very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your queries regarding the upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmi Afkum. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for accepting the invitation after a long, long, long time.
The pleasure is all mine, alhamdulillah.
Well, in our previous episodes with you, we discussed the positives and negatives or pros and cons of social media, how they affect teenagers and what we should be doing. Now, I wanted to ask you that there are a lot of parents who are okay with, like, leaving their children and teens with for like more than 2 hours on screen, whether they are games or animations, and that too unsupervised. How can we bring awareness to both the parents and these children about the dangers of this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, so this is a very important question, and unfortunately we see this very often, as you mentioned. Parents somehow are very lenient or Perhaps out of lack of awareness of the dangers of video games and social medias. When I say dangers, inshallah, we'll talk about them in today's shows. And so it's important that we bring awareness to parents that leaving your children unsupervised. And when we talk about children, we're talking about from the age of these days 2 to 3, all the way until their teens. To leave them unsupervised in front of the screen, even if it's games that are considered as children games, or perhaps you've kind of seen that there's no, adult content on it, then you perhaps feel that this is okay.
All right.
I want to show today that, inshallah, we need to really review how we deal with this and at least be aware of the challenges that we are facing when it comes to the screen as generally. And inshallah, we'll talk about the different types of screens and see that there is a concern that we need to have. This is the first step. See, before we start talking about, okay, what should we do about this, etc., I want to over here just kind of bring this concern, as you mentioned, because of parents who are very perhaps unaware or easygoing when it comes to their children watching TV playing games.
All right.
So I'd like to talk about five major challenges that can come about when we are faced with the screen.
And what are those?
So I'll mention one, and perhaps it'll take more than a few shows to discuss this. But we can go them and discuss them and give examples as well.
Sure.
This can be for parents. So if parents are listening and you're joining us on the show, then these are things that we can think about. At least be aware of these challenges that come when our children are in front of the screen. But it's also for youth and teenagers that are watching this show and are also very much into video games, very much into animations, very much into Netflix and whatnot. For you to be aware of the things that you are consuming, because really we are consuming this, what has been given to us and fed to us on TV or on this on the screen. And so this is important for both both categories of listeners, inshallah.
True. Brother Miqdad, you said that it's important for parents as well as the children to listen and analyze what is being fed to them. Inshallah, we'll expand this after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Hey, stop! I got a better game!
IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother Miqdad, and we are talking about the effects of animation and screen and the knowledge that parents and children both should have. Yes, Brother Miqdad.
Before I mention the 5 points, just let me define. When we talk about screens over here, I want to kind of have a broad, broadened definition over here. We want to include video games.
All right.
We want to include animations. We want to include movies or cartoons, or basically the world of animation, the world of video games, that which we are seeing only and that which we are actively engaging in as well. So whether it's video games or other types of games that we are engaged in. So this is what we're talking about, screen. So I'll give examples as we mentioned these 5 points, inshallah. So the first point that I like to highlight over here is that when we are in front of the screen, we have to understand that although we count this as entertainment, the producers count this as education. So we have this, and I think we mentioned this previously as well, that at the highest level of policy making, it's there, you can search it online as well. The policy makers of whether it's Disney or Pixar or video games, count this and are very open about this, that this is part of our education of society, education of the youth. So they are trying to portray a worldview to you or portray a particular type of values or goals or principles or
beliefs
to you through these channels, whether it is through animations or through video games.
Yeah.
So this itself tells us, kind of opens a red light for us, and so a warning light saying, okay, hold on a second. If right now I'm just giving my child to a teacher who is going to then teach his children in a very amazing way as well, because perhaps one of the best ways to teach somebody is through subconsciously through the world of imagination, such as movies and video games, and pass on values and virtues and life principles and life goals and then a whole world view about how to perceive the world, basically.
Yeah.
So this is how it happens. So this is really brings about an awareness. And obviously, these things are in the hands of people that are very often not believing in God, not believing in the faith that we have. They have no concept of a hereafter. This is a worldview that is purely humanistic, purely secular, a non-godly worldview, and therefore what they're portraying out there is something that's complete opposite to perhaps what you want your children to grow believing in.
All right. Well, Brother McLeod said that parents have to be aware of the fact that whatever the kind of animation or fantasy or world kind of things are being shown to them, their children, they need to be aware of that because the thing that is being shown may carry its own worldview, may carry its own beliefs, may carry its own policies and ideas, and it may be feeding us that, and parents and children both need to be aware of that. We'll talk more on that with you after a short break. Tell listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "No father has granted a gift to his child better than good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIV English Radio. I'm with Brother McThoth. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we're talking about the animation world and fantasy world and how, what are its impacts on children and how parents can help them. Yes, Brother McThoth.
So just to illustrate on the point that we mentioned, take one particular type of worldview, and that is that girls should be free and should be free. Right, and the definition of freedom is to go against their culture, is to go against the belief that their parents have, is to go against their faith, to go against everything that has come down from their parents.
That is traditional.
That is traditional, and okay. To explore the world. And to explore the world means basically to break all the rules.
All the stereotypes.
Right, so this always often goes against hijab, often goes against the very fact of belief that we have. And this ideology, you can see it in so many different ways in different. So just to give an example, Brave, for those who've watched the animation Brave, or Moana, for example, or Tangled. These are a couple of years old for the new generation, perhaps. But these are animations that you've seen that have exactly the same message out there, basically, that you're a girl. Mm-hmm. And to be able to be successful, to be able to be amazing, to be able to be... let's say beautiful, to be able to be something great.
Explore yourself,
you have to go against your parents. You have to go against your culture, against your beliefs.
Against
you have to go
all and explore those the norms.
World. Exactly. Break rules, basically. Explore the world. Get out of the house, basically.
Yeah.
That kind of one theme that is portrayed in so many of these animations. I've just given you three examples, but it comes out across in these animations and in video games as well. You see the same things as well. So just to give you one idea, one example of how worldview is portrayed through these animations. Another example that we could give is the example of this game that's right now is probably one of the most famous games in the West, at least, Minecraft. So for those who play Minecraft, I remember I was speaking to a young boy. He was maybe nine years old. And I had a long conversation with him about Minecraft. And literally I was asking him, okay, because you know when we used to play video games, we used to play video games that have a goal, right? You have levels to pass and you have a bad guy to kill at the end or whatever it is basically. So I asked him, okay, what is the goal of Minecraft? So he gave me one goal that you have to build something, whatever. And I asked him, okay, what about after that? And then he said this. And then what about after that? And then this carried on for literally for 10 minutes. We just kept on talking about what do you have to do next? And it just went on. And you realize that basically Minecraft is a sandbox game. A sandbox game means that it is a game that doesn't have a particular goal. You have to
just taking you from one level to another level.
No, there's no levels. It's just a game that doesn't have a particular purpose. Rather, you have to make your own purpose. So you've got different things to do, different tools and different things that you can build with. And you have no rules and you have no defined goal that you have to go and kind of search or fulfill. But rather, you have to be creative in a way to build your own purpose. Now, this, in one aspect, you'd be, okay, this is great. This is exactly what children should be doing. Correct. But this is based on a worldview that it's called existentialism, if you want to search up. teaching you that we don't have a purpose in our life and we don't have a goal in our life. We have to make our own goal in life, basically.
All right.
Whatever you are in this life is in your own hands, and you make your life whatever you want it to be. You make your success whatever you want it to be. If you want to be this and you define success as this, mm-hmm. and your purpose as this, then well and good. This is what your choice is.
All right.
Well, this is completely different from what Islam says. Islam says that you've been created with a purpose. You have a fitrah. You're supposed to reach a perfection. That's a defined perfection. That's an eternal, absolute human perfection.
There's a goal. There's a goal.
There's a path, basically. It's not just a blank check that we've been created with. But you see how this game kind of is built on a particular worldview that is portrayed in this type of...
In these type of animations and games. Thank you so much, brother, for being with us. Thank you so much for providing so much information. We'll talk, inshallah, more on that in another session. Thank you so much to our listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for us, please feel free to contact us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. You can listen to this program again on our official website, that's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanullah, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Abhishek Manandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 27th, 2022. I'm Atefe Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us what program or programs at IRIB English Radio you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. Today is November 27th and we are with you with another edition of Listeners Special. And here, I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia, Marsan Fritzen from Brazil, and Salvatore Righi from Italy. So, Ivan, Marsan, and Salvatore, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And for your information, these reception reports are very helpful for IRIB English Radio because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Belarus, we've received an email from Igor Belevich. Henry L. Omadhe from the Philippines has sent us an email. Mohammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the US, has sent us an email. From Sweden, we've received an email from Jan Thornblom. And the last but not the least in this edition of Listeners Special is an email from India from DK Sarkar. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, Igor Belevich from Belarus has sent us an email. Let's see what Igor says. Hello, my friends from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I received your signals in Belarus in English on shortwave at 20 UTC. I'm glad to listen to IRIB in English on shortwave. I use analog SW radio receiver. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for sending this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And we are very glad that you could receive the signals of IRIB English Radio. You know, we are also glad to have you as a listener. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as a verification, Igor Belevich from Belarus. Wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Buy Nothing Day is an international day of protest against consumerism. In North America, it is held the day after U.S. Thanksgiving concurrent to Black Friday. The negative effects of consumerism include the depletion of natural resources and pollution of the earth. The way the consumer society is working is not sustainable. We are currently overusing earth's natural resources by more than 70%. When you stop buying unnecessary things, you will start to feel better about yourself. You will see life and yourself in a whole new light. You will no longer be chained by the temptation of unnecessary spending. Muslims are advised to live modest lives and refrain from excessive consumption associated with Western values. The view of Islam is that all good things of this world are God's graces, which have been created for human being. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Mohammad Khaku from the US. And please accept our appreciations and gratitudes to you for sending us this email. This was great. Thank you for sharing your information about this day. I mean, Buy Nothing Day, which is an international day of protest against consumerism, which is rampant, actually, in the US, I think, and some of the European countries. And also, you had a great note. You said Muslims are advised to live modest lives and refrain from excessive consumption associated with Western values. That was a good point. Thank you for that. And thank you for sharing your experiences and information with us. Please write to us soon. We always welcome your attitudes, not only you, but also all our great listeners around the world. We wish you all the best, Mohammad Khaku from the US, and please accept our EQSL as verification. Welcome back. From Sweden, we've received an email from Jan Thornblom. Jan Thornblom from Sweden says, "Dear staff, as my hobby is listening to distant radio stations, I was very pleased to hear your station. The signal strength quite okay, but a little unstable with some atmospheric noise and interference from a transmitter. Thank you very much for your nice programs. I hope you can identify your program through my reception report. If you